Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us here on a Monday, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. So there is pressure in sports. There's no question about it. Different athletes handle that kind of pressure in different ways. And sometimes the expectations of what what people want desperately from an outcome can really overwhelm an individual athlete. Maybe the home run derby, for example, is being held in your ballpark, or maybe the Super Bowl is being played in your hometown. I don't know what it is. But different. Sometimes we just reach a point where the pressure just is overwhelming. Imagine the feeling of Rory McIlroy over the first 2 days of the Open Championship being played at a golf course he grew up on and was an hour from his house. A course that he shot 61 on as a 16-year-old. Francisco Molinari, who's the defending champion, there's pressure to defend your championship. However, Molinari said it wasn't one-tenth of what Rory McIlroy was feeling. McIlroy was the favorite going in by the people of Northern Ireland. That was his golf course. Those were his people. That is something that he had envisioned winning for years. Now, if they had announced that Royal Portrush was going to host the British Open 2 months ago, well, maybe we wouldn't have had a chance to build it up. But it was years in the making when they announced it. It was years in building up, putting the course together, organizing it, getting the volunteers, making sure the town was ready. And Rory knew this, and he knew that the people of that area, especially, again, where he grew up, were going to demand a lot of things from him as a golfer, and he could not deliver. First hole on Thursday was an 8, and boy, did he rally to try to make the cut, coming up one short. There was a moment in round 2 on Friday in which McIlroy knocked in a birdie putt on 16. It's one of the loudest ovations you'll ever hear from a crowd of a guy who's nowhere near the top of the leaderboard. He didn't hole out a bunker shot, or he didn't knock it in from 190 yards out for an eagle. He simply made a 10 or 11 foot birdie putt, and the place was going bananas because they wanted badly for more Rory McIlroy to get the job done, and he just couldn't. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Also, over the weekend, I think it was actually Friday, the NFL announced that Tyreek Hill of the Chiefs will not get suspended. Now, if we all remember the audio recording in which Hill told the mother of his 4-year-old son, "You need to be terrified of me too." Beep. The league, in an interview with Tyreek Hill, and spent a good amount of time with him. I think they spent 8 hours interviewing Hill. Basically came to the same conclusion as local authorities that there was no evidence as to how the child suffered a broken arm. So the league cannot suspend Hill because it does not know or cannot conclude that Tyreek Hill violated the personal conduct policy. Okay, we all may have an opinion on that. We all may have a feeling on that, and we probably all do. The audio recording, and I remember when you and I talked about this at the time it came out, it looked really bad for Tyreek Hill. That was a terrible recording.
Really painted a bad picture.
Painted a real bad picture. And you remember at the time there were people who said, look, I think it was Alex Gold too. Alex Gold said, listen, I want him gone from my team. Alex Gold's a big Chiefs fan. There were a couple of people who said that. There were a couple of people on Twitter who said, listen, I'm a Chiefs fan. He's a very important part of this team, but I want him gone. I don't want my team represented by this guy. So now what you have is you have one of those sort of gray legal areas, right? Where there's no evidence, but that doesn't mean innocence. It just means we don't have enough evidence to say one way or the other.
Well, I think what the problem is, there are so many conflicting stories.
Yep, exactly.
They either support each other, they contradict each other. It is so confusing. Even after listening to the tape, after hearing this or reading that, I can't make heads or tails on who the bad person, who the good person, if anyone's bad, if anyone's good is. It's so much confusion that if I was a cop, I'd be like, I give up.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure this one out.
So here's my point. It may leave a bad taste in your mouth, because if you heard the audio, it just sounds awful. But the NFL is doing the right thing here, because you shouldn't have a league, especially dealing with union employees, which is the players, being just, we think something happened, so therefore we're suspending. Or we just don't like the way this looks, so we're suspending. Right? There was this whole idea of, remember, like, Roger Goodell need to protect the shield. So even if you didn't do something, but there was a feeling like you did probably know more than you're letting on, then that could have been a violation of the personal conduct policy. I think this is a bad place for the league to go when they go, yeah, well, even if there's no evidence, still, you know, we're going to lay down. We just don't like the feel of this. We don't like the sound of this. We don't like the look of this. Therefore, we're going to act in accordance. You may not like it. I may not like it. You may also be like us, sort of like, this is a bad, that audio was a bad look. But if they are like the DA in Johnson County, where they cannot find evidence that he did this to his son, then the league can't act on it. Whether we like it or not, the league can't act on it. And now it's a larger issue here. Remember, it's similar like in a court of law, where you don't want to break the rules of law and the rules of how we convict people based on gut feelings, right? Tyreek Hill may or may not have done something here. But because there's no evidence to show that he did do something, the NFL can't act. But it doesn't mean he's innocent. It just means they can't act. And that's the difference. So that being said, are there still going to be Chiefs fans who were like that back when this tape was released that are going to say, I don't like this. I don't care. I don't care that he's one of the more exciting players in the league. I don't care that he helped us to a phenomenal record last year in a division title. I don't care. I don't want him representing the Chiefs, even if there's no evidence. Now, a lot of times you get situations like this, especially in college sports. College sports is big on this because people really don't like it when their student athletes, get pegged for a crime, and then it shows that there's no evidence and that people want to suspend them anyway. Fans go nuts, and it's just fanatics, right? They go nuts. But in the NFL, there's the same sort of mentality. There might be enough people to say, well, there's no evidence on this. Tyreek Hill, you're welcome with open arms. But again, if you're the league, this is where you don't want to overstep your bound, because again, they're dealing with a union, and the union is going to fight them tooth and nail on something like this. Because again, it's a slippery slope. If they can get Tyreek Hill for this on a gut feeling, they can get anybody at any time, at any day for a gut feeling. And look, all of us have had moments where we may have said something to somebody that probably wasn't appropriate, maybe not as violently sounding as this, but where does it end? Like, where is the slope? How does it slide down? What is it? So if the league feels like, yeah, we didn't like the sound of what he said on that tape, and we just, you know, it just does a bad look, we're going to suspend. Is that enough grounds? Well, if you're DeMora Smith, you'd say absolutely not. We cannot let you just hold anything you want over our heads. Because if our guy goes, he's tired and he's exhausted, and he goes to a drive-thru and they mess up his order, and he goes back and he's very vocal to the employee behind the counter because they messed up his order, is that grounds for a 4-game suspension because he's like had 2 hours of sleep? Like, where does the slippery slope stop? If you're DeMora Smith, you have to cut that off, right? If you're DeMora Smith, you have to go, no. We're not going to suspend players because you didn't like what they said on a tape in a private conversation. that happened to be recorded. We can't do that. Like, welcome to cowboy land. Like, welcome to the wild, wild west of people trying to get star players suspended for every little thing. Right? I think I'll just call Tom Brady's house until he finally is annoyed. Right? Like, you just can't have a world where that exists. You need the league to follow its due course of investigation. And if they find something, even if the DA doesn't have it, and it's not, what do you call it, prosecutable? Even if it's not, but it's enough for them to know or get beyond a shadow of a doubt because the evidence leads them to this direction. Okay, but if it doesn't, you can't just suspend. So again, this is one of those stories that leaves a bad taste, but at the same time, it's the right thing. Now, listen, I don't want to compare this to OJ's situation because it's, you know, one half dozen of the other, but it's very similar. Do you remember when OJ was going up for parole and everyone was like, no, you can't send him out on parole. But the reality was he should have been on parole. Like, the crime that he committed in that hotel room trying to get back his stuff didn't warrant 9 years in prison. It didn't. And you could say all you want, well, he murdered two people. Yeah, but the court didn't say he murdered two people, and therefore he gets to go on parole. Right? That's it. That's kind of the world we're in. So on the flip side of that, again, the league did its investigation. It determined the same thing as the Johnson County District Court in their, you know, basically in their investigation, Johnson County Department that investigated this. There was no evidence that that child, the 4-year-old who had broke his arm, was done so by Tyree in the hands of Tyreek Hill. And because of that, he can't be suspended. He just can't. You may not like it. I may not like it. It may leave a bad taste in your mouth. Again, go back to the audio. It stinks. I mean, the audio is bad. The audio is terrible. But there's no evidence that he broke his child's arm.
I mean, honestly, the NFL got it right.
The NFL did get it right. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing we can say about it. The NFL did the right thing.
But do we want to? Because again, guys, do you want your league doing this? I mean, do you really want your sports leagues investigating now every little tiny thing somebody says or does, or do you want them just to investigate when there's a major story of a major possible criminal and possible criminal problem? Right? If J.J. Watt seems like a very, very nice guy, right? But what if J.J. Watt went off the handle, like at some, I don't know, it's some department store, right? But he goes back and he apologizes. Like, I had a really bad day, but I said some things I shouldn't have said, right? Well, you'd probably go, well, J.J. Watt's a humanitarian, for crying out loud. He raises money for the floods. He's a wonderful person. He's a great guy. He's great for his community. He's, you know, he's great for our league. He's all right. So maybe he had bad reaction to some cold medicine or something, and he just lost it on some department store that messed up his furniture order or something. Like, do we really want the league going, all right, let's talk to the furniture store guy and let's get exactly what he said? And even though he didn't do anything wrong, he just had a bad day at the going to, all right, let's talk to the manager and let's talk to JJ and let's talk to people in the community. And like, do we want our league doing that? Or do we want to go, hey, you know what? Even the best of us, we can go haywire sometimes. We can lose it sometimes. And that's it. Now, again, Tyreek, this audio is pretty bad. It does sound bad, but what kind of, again, go back to the slippery slope argument. Where does it end? And where do you want this league to go with this? Again, if you're Demoris Smith, you go, no. Thank you, moving on. And now the Chiefs get Tyreek Hill back. We'll see if they boo him or cheer him or whatever they do when the season starts in September. 800-777-2907 is the number, or hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. It is a Monday as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Oh, glad you could be with us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Hey, when your battery loses its power, you lose your ability to get out, get around, and get things done. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the Super Start battery that's the exact fit for your vehicle. Whether it's reliable economy, hardworking premium, or powerful extreme, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the Super Start battery you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, Ryan, while you were on vacation, so you ate. You were telling me earlier you had a gluttonous meal.
Maybe.
What's the difference?
All right, well, there's We decided to do, one day we decided to do like just a Hollywood day. My son's nickname on his baseball team is Hollywood. He really wanted to see the Hollywood sign.
That's pretty cool.
We made it happen.
Sure.
So we took him, you know, drove up some windy roads, some canyons, and got him a, you know, got him standing in front of the Hollywood sign so he could show all his baseball buddies and his coach that, hey, look, Hollywood went to Hollywood.
How great is that?
That's fantastic. Well, there's a place in Hollywood that is near and dear to my heart. I used to visit it a lot when I was in college. Never particularly sober, but it was always well worth the trip. And it's called Pink's Hot Dogs.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah,
it's a staple in Hollywood, and you have to go to the original stand. They have other places now that you can go to, but the original one, that's where, you know, you have a chance of meeting the movie star. You're standing in line. You're literally standing in line to get a hot dog for about 45 minutes.
Wow, that's a long time for a hot
dog. Yeah, I mean, but...
Yeah, but I've heard about this place. So, it's very famous.
But, you know, I mean, it wasn't... It's not really worth it for my kids because they literally just get a hot dog with maybe ketchup on it.
Okay.
You know, the idea is you go there and you're a little more adventurous, or you throw some stuff on there. And, you know, I looked over the menu and I said, you know what? There's a dog with my name on it. And it's called the L.A. Chargers dog.
Oh, okay.
And so I had to order the L.A. Chargers dog. I'm not sure where this falls on the gluttony scale. So basically what the L.A. Chargers dog is 2 9-inch stretch dogs, meaning the dog is they're 9 inches, but they kind of stretch them out so they don't fit exactly on a bun.
Okay.
They're longer than a standard hot dog bun. So you got two of those hot dogs in one bun, and it's topped with mustard, chili, nacho cheese, french fries with a side of onion rings.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad.
Is that not too bad? I mean, that's...
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because, I mean, you know, then you order fries. I ordered additional fries on top of that.
Okay, maybe so. All right, well, now we're getting a little... Okay.
And then I had to help finish my wife's hot dog.
Oh, okay. That
because
right,
you can't just let
talking.
A hot dog go to waste.
No, not really.
And my wife, she decided to have a little fun too. She got the Martha Stewart hot dog, which was a 9-inch stretch dog. Just one though, with relish, onions, bacon, chopped tomatoes, sauerkraut, and sour cream.
Repeat that. Wait a minute. Repeat that again.
It was a
trying to follow you.
Stretch dog with relish, onions,
onion,
chopped tomatoes. Okay. Sauerkraut, sour cream, and it literally had two strips of bacon on it.
I thought you had the sauerkraut and sour cream. I was like, did I hear that right? Sauerkraut,
yeah,
and sour
sauerkraut
cream?
And okay. Sour cream with two strips of bacon on it.
That's really two strips.
She
of
couldn't
bacon.
Finish it, so I had to help her out with that.
You
as
took
well.
Care of that as well. Yeah,
yeah. That's what husbands do. I mean, you just sit there and just. But I mean, they're phenomenal. The chili is incredible.
I think you're in good shape.
Okay,
I don't think it's as gluttonous.
All right. I didn't know if, but, you know, adding, you know, having two hot dogs in one bun and then adding french fries and chili on top of that was a smart move.
Maybe so. By the way, real quick question. The L.A. Charger dog, do you have to eat it on the road?
There's no eating at home. I literally took it to the street.
After you finish it, is it just massively disappointing and it just doesn't live up to the hype?
No, it actually, you know what? It did live up to the hype. And that, you know, that's true to the Chargers. The Chargers do live up to the hype.
Yeah, okay.
Just, you know, hey, they made the playoffs. They were a contender.
Just as you're ready to finish the delicious dog, does Tom Brady come in and just cut it off and just throw the rest away in the trash?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just, you know.
No, I had to get the L.A. Chargers. There's no L.A. Ram dog.
You know what? That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Maybe they're making inroads.
Yeah. I mean,
is that possible?
I don't think so. But I understand where you're going. I mean, because they have a LAFC dog, which is one of the soccer teams, MLS teams in L.A. They don't have the L.A. Galaxy dog.
Oh, wow. You know what? That'd be interesting to find out why, though, isn't it? Wouldn't you? Like, wouldn't you want to know, like, is the owner just like, I'm not interested in these teams. I'm more interested in.
Yeah, I wonder why they're linking up with the Chargers rather than the Rams.
Very much so. Yes, exactly.
I mean, can we take it as a precursor?
Yeah, maybe the owner's like, no.
I don't know.
Do that.
So, but yeah. And we did have a celebrity sighting. or two.
Can you say who saw, or do you rather keep
it? Oh, yeah, because this person denied it. And we know for a fact it was this person.
What do you mean denied it? Like
denied
you said, hey,
it.
Tiger Woods? And he's like, no, I'm Mark Jones.
We were at Universal Studios. We decided to go to Universal City Walk and eat at Buca di Beppo, which is never a bad meal.
Not a bad meal.
And
there.
You definitely get your money's worth because you come back with a bunch of leftovers.
Right?
There was a photographer. You know, somebody just comes up to your table and wants to take a photo of you.
Sure.
And the photographer, you know, she had a Russian accent. And asked if she could take a photo. My wife did a double take on her, and she's like, I know who that is. And she couldn't remember. She's like, do I know her from, you know, a previous life, like, you know, back in school? Or, you know, when we lived in Southern California, do I know her from there? And then it hit her. She's like, no, I saw this girl on America's Got Talent.
Oh.
And she was a contestant who, with her mom, had trained cats to do all these tricks. And we looked her up, you know, we Googled her, and I mean, identical to what she was. And my wife was just like, you know what? I'm sorry. I have to ask you, were you on, you know, my sons were mortified that they were like, oh my God, mom, you're stalking her, asking her who this is. And, you know, my wife asked her, said, are you that person on America's Got Talent? She's like, oh no, but I get that a lot. There's the most obscure thing. It's like, no. You are her.
And you basically said, that's a bunch of crap. You are this person.
Exactly. Because
Stop your lying.
She has an accent. The lady, she's like, oh, no. See, I'm from Belarus. I have a Belarus accent. She was from Russia. And I'm like, it's the same place.
Ha, ha. Yeah, that's not going to fly. No. Too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
Like, if she was like, I'm from Nebraska.
Exactly.
That woman's from Russia. We just look alike. That's my doppelganger. We just look alike.
Yeah, there was no hiding the accent. I mean, identical looking. I mean, if not, then she has a serious, she has a twin sister out there that she's not aware of.
By the way, real quick, was she embarrassed on the show by any chance?
No, they didn't win.
But they liked her?
They liked her. They advanced her to the next round, but then they didn't do anything after that.
Okay.
Or she was on the show for a while. I think she was on for a couple of rounds.
I read a story about one of the contestants in the first, like, 5 years, I forget which year it was, of The Real World. And he went around. He was portrayed so poorly on the show.
Wasn't that the comedian for the?
I don't remember who it was, but he denied it. He would deny he was the Real World guy because he said it was there was cool perks to fame. You know, girls wanted to hang out with him and whatnot. But he said it was just I hated the embarrassment of being on that show and being. I just kept denying it, till finally I just told people, yeah, it was me, and years have gone and passed. So I'm wondering if this woman had a bad experience.
Well, maybe.
She's like, I am tired of answering yes, and Howie Mandel ridiculed me, blah, 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 blah.
Simon Cowell made me cry,
blah, 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 blah.
But, you know, my wife's... She could work for the FBI or CIA when it comes to faces. She may not be able to remember names, but she is really good at faces.
That's good.
And,
it's a good talent to have.
And is able to pick out anyone and remember where she saw that person. Like
that's awesome.
We were driving along, I mean, an obscure TV show. I don't know if you remember the TV show Jericho.
Yeah, sure do.
Right?
Kind of apocalyptic.
Yes. You know, if nuclear bombs went off in all the major cities and the, you know, Jericho was all about this town in Kansas, I think. But Skeet Ulrich played the main character. His girlfriend, wife in the TV show, the blonde girl, who didn't really, I mean, was on the show for two seasons, but hasn't really done anything ever since. We're driving next to her, and she's like, oh, that's her. I know it's her. And she looked it up, and she's like, yep, that's her right there.
No kidding.
Driving right next to us. I mean, no, we didn't get to see any big-name celebrity, big, you know, jaw-dropping ones that... You know, stop the presses is who we hung out with. But, you know, it's just Hollywood just has stars all over.
I'm sounding like you had a good vacation.
It was relaxed. It was good.
You had a good time. I'm glad you're well rested.
Yeah, I miss Pink's already. I want to go back and get that LA Chargers dog. Now that I know it's not gluttonous, I want more. Maybe I'll order two next time.
800-777-2907 is the number. If you want to join in the conversation, also, we're going to talk some NFL. Coming up, what is the least like storyline of the 2019? The one you're going to get sick and tired of hearing very quickly. I got some ideas we'll share next. It's SB Nation AM.
This This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Training camp for a lot of NFL teams starting this week. Some of them are already begun. Denver Broncos are rolling along in Denver right now. Atlanta Falcons rolling. They got to play in Canton, Ohio on August 1st, but everybody else is coming in this week. So training camp is going to be underway. And naturally, as you would expect this time of year, we're going to start seeing some preseason rankings or preseason thoughts, preseason storylines, things that you're looking forward to seeing from different teams throughout the league. And then those storylines will be played out throughout the year. Let's say a team is going with a new head coach. That becomes a storyline. You'll talk about that all year. If you're Arizona, for example, you have a new coach and a rookie quarterback, that is going to be the storyline played out. There's a couple that I'm really looking forward to seeing. I was saying this earlier. I just want to see, just out of nothing more than curiosity, how the Giants and Eli Manning are going to play themselves out this year. I mean, in terms of Manning and finding an ending point to his career, and the Giants finding a point where they want to move on from Manning into the Daniel Jones era. Right? When do those two collide? Do they meld perfectly together, or is there going to be some tension where Eli is going to be forced out when he doesn't want to be forced out, or how is it going to play out? It is literally one of those stories that it's not affecting the division, it's not X's and O's, it's just I'm kind of curious. There's a couple, though, that I'm going to get sick and tired of, and I'm going to get sick and tired of pretty quickly. And the one involves the team that's working out right now, and that's the Denver Broncos. Now, the Broncos have got a ton of different things going on for them, right? New coach, new offensive coordinator, but more importantly, new quarterback, and it's Joe Flacco. I'm going to be curious to see where this team starts and how quickly we start jumping into the conversation of Joe Flacco and what kind of Joe Flacco is in Denver and what was the expectations, and did John Elway whiff on this, or did he hit a home run, or how is John Elway can't find a quarterback after Peyton Manning, or maybe he's got his guy, or maybe he doesn't get his guy. Their schedule is really, really tough out of the gate. The Broncos are going to start out in Oakland to face the Raiders. Now, I know the Raiders are a team that's kind of climbing up, building back up. But the reality of it is Denver is not a great team. I mean, Denver needs some work on offense. They got a good defense, but they need to show something on offense. Right out of the gate on the road to face the Raiders, then you got the Bears, then you got the Packers, then you've got the Jaguars, then you've got the Chargers. And look, it's a daunting five-game schedule, right? Chargers are expected to be good. Nick Foles and Jacksonville are supposed to be better. Aaron Rodgers is certainly a threat to beat anybody at any time. And the Bears, you know, very good team last season. So if you're the Denver, you're going up against some pretty formidable opponents in the first 5 years. And I'm telling you right now, it is going to get old at every single week. The conversation is going to be Flacco's effectiveness as the Broncos' savior quarterback. It'll drive me nuts. Because we kind of understand what's at stake here. They just haven't landed a guy, and they're taking a flyer on Joe Flacco until Drew Lock becomes ready. And when Drew Lock becomes ready, then he's the guy. Another one that I think is going to be a little played out, for me anyway, is going to be my own team, the Steelers. The Antonio Brown trade, what happened at the end of last season, and how that got played out in public, where the Steelers don't like to air their dirty laundry. And now he's playing in Oakland. And now the Steelers did not replace him per se, but Juju Smith-Schuster is going to become the new number one, solely number one guy. And James Conner is going to be solely the number one back. He did so last year with Le'Veon Bell out, holding out for the entire season. But the Steelers do not need to be defined by anybody that's not on the roster. They need to be defined with people who are on it. There are going to be games that the Steelers are going to play where it's going to be too close for comfort or they'll lose, and you watch how that media is going to start spinning. Well, if Antonio Brown was available to draw the double team, or they had figured out a way to keep Le'Veon Bell, who's good catching passes out of the backfield or whatever, you're going to start hearing this more and more if the Steelers struggle, which is a possibility given that the Ravens are still a strong team and the Browns are expected to be good. Speaking of the Browns, I'm not necessarily going to get tired about their story. I find it fascinating. I do find the Browns fascinating. Now, listen, there's a part of me, and I try to do this on the show, my personal rivalries that I feel in my own sports culture, my own sports world, does not cloud me when I evaluate those teams here, right? And I love the Browns. I love the Browns the way they look. Yes, they make me nervous. Yes, as a Steelers fan, I don't need the division to get tougher. But I'm not going to get tired of the growth of this franchise. I think it was an embarrassment for 20 years, and I've said so many times, that they have not been able to put together a solid winning, one playoff appearance in 20 years is unacceptable. It's unacceptable for any franchise team, and for any expansion franchise team, and that's exactly what they are. They're an expansion team. They're not the Browns of old. That team is in Baltimore. They were an expansion team in the late 90s, and they've made one playoff appearance since becoming an expansion team, and that's ridiculous. But they're moving forward. They've got a good young quarterback that we're all excited about, or at least we all got excited about, and he lived up to it. Odell Beckham, a number of bevy of weapons, a new head coach in Freddie Kitchens. So I'm not going to get tired of that Browns storyline. I'm not. Now,
who is?
Yeah, I don't think anybody.
I don't think anyone's going to get – I mean, I guess I could see if we keep going, oh, this is the new Browns, oh, this is the new Browns, by the time week 18 comes along, it's like, okay, maybe we can stop saying that.
Well – yeah, I think, you know, exactly.
Because now it's like, okay, I think we're all assuming that it's going to be a good team. And by week 18, we better not, or week 17, we better not be sitting there going, oh, this is a new look Browns team.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. You know what I do hope I don't hear a lot about? Not in any, listen, if you want to go back and do a little remind people of last season, that's fine. But how many weeks are we going to hear at the beginning of the season, have the Saints shook off the disappointment of the NFC title game?
first pass interference call that doesn't go their way.
God.
Somebody already has the video queued up.
But the other thing is that the Saints might go all the time in training camp, yeah, we're done with that, we're done with that, we're moving on. But that's not going to stop the media from going, and you got to wonder, are the Saints over? What happened to them in that disappointing title game a year, you know, last season? I mean, it's just Drew Brees could, like, we don't even talk about it anymore. We're moving on. Like,
hey, you guys bring it up more than we do.
You guys bring it up more than we do. We don't want to hear it. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm sure in the locker room, though, that stings.
It's got to sting, right? It's got to sting.
I mean, to know, I mean, that is just one of the, I guess, one of the greatest missed calls ever. Put it up there with, can never remember the umpire's name who missed Armando Galarraga's perfect game.
Oh, yeah, right. Was it Jim Joyce?
Jim Joyce, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, those are the two calls that stick out my mind. They're probably the most blatant, obvious calls that you could have missed.
Last week we were talking about the Louisiana judge that allowed the lawsuit against the NFL to go through. The guy who's putting the suit together, he doesn't want anything. He doesn't want monetary damages. What he wants is access to their information. What did they do to the officials? What kind of, how did they look into it? What was the disciplinary measures that were taken? And I kept going, man, dude, what are you going to do with that information if you found it? Like, let's say they took all the officials into a back room and, like, whipped them 50 times. What would you do with that information, right?
Sell it to TMZ.
Right? Bring them up on charges? Like, disciplinary, like, find them a paycheck. Okay, so maybe they find them a game. I don't know. Whatever they did, it was private. If you find out what it is, what are you going to do? Let's say they didn't do anything. Let's say they said, well, you know what? It's your job to call the game as you see it, and that's how you saw it. There's nothing we're going to do about it. We don't want to start now. What are you going to do with that information? It's worthless. By the way, I live in Nashville, and I can't wait for the milquetoast of Tennessee Titans football season to start. That's another one of those storylines. That's more of a local thing than a national thing. But the Titans went 9-7 last year, and there's no real indication to think that they are an 11-win, 12-win team. But they're not a 6-10 team either. But in the NFL, you can go south pretty quickly. But you want to talk about 8-8 mediocre? That's the Titans. The Titans are like going out for a meal you don't really want, but it's not bad tasting. You're like, that's good. It's fine. It's satisfying. It's good. That's it.
And, you know, to that same thing here locally in Houston, the storyline that I can't wait for them to jump into is, when will Bill O'Brien be fired?
I know. Exactly. And who will fire him? Which member of the four-person general manager staff is going to be the one to pull the trigger? Right? Which one of those guys is going to get to do it? when the Titans start, the Texans start like 1-5, and it's like, oh, this is not working out. Well, I think he's fine. I think he's fine too. Well, I don't like him. Oh, let's tie it too.
You know what they should have done? They should have had five people on the panel.
Absolutely, so, they should have had five people.
So
on
that
the panel.
Way we can always go with, you know, 4 out of 5 people like Bill O'Brien.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Like the dentist and all the gum commercials.
Exactly. Where there's that one dentist is like, no, do not chew gum. And never, all the other dentists are like, what a party pooper. Chew away as
chew
long as it's
away.
Dentine, your sugarless gum of choice. And the other dentist is just going, oh, I hate this.
You know that
gum
one,
is terrible for that, your teeth.
You know what they don't tell you? That one dentist was an orthodontist.
Exactly. Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
Why he didn't want you to chew
exactly.
gum. But yeah, no, that's what the Texans need is a front office of 5 people.
That's right. That's right. They're completely. It's just like those old ads, like from the from the 50s. Like, doctors smoke Lucky Strike. Go ahead, pregnant woman, puff away on those Lucky Strike cigarettes. Your doctor says it's good for you. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Lucky Strike cigarettes.
Reminds me of that scene in Dazed and Confused when
when
the kid's trying to buy beer, but before him is a pregnant woman,
right?
You know, smoking a cigarette. The guy behind the counter is like, you know, pregnant women need lots of milk.
That's great.
Oh, there's my nothing goodness. Else to say. She's in a liquor store buying alcohol and smoking a ciggy and, yep, need milk.
I could see the Texan situation is so interesting because there's not a go-to guy that's like the buck stops here.
No,
it's like there's like a bunch of them like, I didn't do it. He did it. No, he did it. No, it's you. No, the ace. I mean, it's just a mess.
I mean, this is, you know what? I think it always works well. Now works out well in organizations where they decide not to employ a general manager.
Right, yeah, right.
I've never seen that gone sour.
God, and there's so many people that would die to have that job. You can't find a good candidate. This is your best
I'll
option.
I'll do it.
My
for
God.
Cheap.
Are you out of your mind?
I wouldn't know what I'm doing, but
I know, I wouldn't either,
better
but
than what
still,
you have right now.
I'll take it. It's great.
Yeah, no, nah, it'll be
so funny.
That's what storyline we're going to get tired of. I know one that would be Patriots winning.
Right. That's going to get old really quickly because that gets old every year.
That'll be after week 1.
Like, I know.
Oh, great. Here we go again.
Brady's awesome. We get it.
Yep. He's defying top father time. You know, most players drop off at his age, but nope, he keeps getting better.
And the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets are like, we stink.
Yeah,
we're not a good football team.
Don't even want to play for second.
We try our best, but it ain't even close to good enough. That's those 3 sad sacks of an organization. God.
Yeah.
God, Buffalo. God, Buffalo. I love that city, but my God, how horrible. That fan base is so loyal. It's insane, isn't it?
It really is.
They're one of the most rabid fan bases in the league.
I would even say they're loyal to a fault.
And the Bills go, here, you're welcome. Crap. And Bills fans are like, give me more. I'll just eat it. One day this will be a fine delicacy of a meal. I'll keep eating the sludge you're serving, but one day this is going to taste delicious, and I'll be right there to tell you how awesome it is. And they're like, nah, you still get sludge.
And good thing for the Bills, I mean, every once in a while they'll, you know, bring on out Thurman Thomas or Andre Reed or Jim Kelly and be
to remind
look,
you. Yep.
Remember?
Yeah, remember when this was awesome? Remember when we were the best?
Bruce Smith, Daryl Talley, remember?
Yeah. Remember? I'm like, yes, we do. Keep giving us bad football players who can't score touchdowns. Yeah.
Well, that's, Josh Allen, we believe.
Josh Allen's got a good job. I hope the offense gets a little better so he doesn't have to run all over the place like he did last year, but we'll see. That's training camp. Oh boy, this is going to be fun as it continues along. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on SB Nation AM. You probably have heard the story of Kendrick Norton, the Miami Dolphins defensive tackle. He had his left arm amputated following a car crash earlier this month. They placed Norton on the reserve non-football injury list, and the team is able to pay him his full salary. That's a good story. That's a good story. Well, you know what's weird, Ron? And I listen, I hate admitting this. I hate admitting this. This was a young man that got in a car accident and lost his arm. Okay? So when I first read the story, it said Miami Dolphins defensive tackle Kendrick Norton lost his arm. My first thought was, oh my God, he lost his football career. I did not, for the first thought was not, he just lost an arm following a car accident.
Thank God he's still alive.
Like, thank God he's still alive.
Yep.
Like, he lost his, like he's lost his arm. That's pretty tragic. He lost Like, he lost his arm. Like, he's now, he's got no arm because of this car accident. My first thought was, oh my God, his football career is over.
I didn't even realize it until you just said it, but that was my first thought as well.
It's
like, once you said it out loud, I'm like, yeah, that was the first thing I thought of too, was that, hey, his football career is over.
It's over, right? Exactly. And it's like, it's sad because that sounds like what a monster would think. Like, oh, well, I guess he's not going to be a millionaire anymore by playing football. Right. Like,
gonna
instead
have to
of
go
like,
out and
wow,
get a day job.
This guy's going to have to figure out his life now with one arm. Like, you know, that's a big adjustment. Right, for people who've had to go through it, that's a big adjustment. But instead, I'm thinking about it. And I think a lot of it is like when you go to the draft or anything like that, and you see the guys that this is what they want. They work so hard to get to a point, and you realize how fragile that can be. Right, like all his life, he's been dieting and working out and going to camps and working hard to try to live it to make it to the pros, to try to live out a dream, and then it all comes to an end. By this accident, but it still doesn't change the fact that my first thought should have been grateful he's alive, glad he's alive, but not that he lost his career.